Blog Talk Radio. And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday, June the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2022. And we're looking forward to a beautiful show, much like the weather the last few days. I tell you guys, if you can write it up and you can put it on a bulletin board, this would be the weather I would sign up for every day. When I got to walk outside and question, do I need a sweatshirt or I can go out in a t-shirt, that's my kind of day. But the 90-degree days are coming. Get ready for it, folks. It's going to be a hot summer. We all know it, but that's okay. Rather that than the cold and snow. So, guys, welcome aboard. We got a lot to talk about. It's a very – I can't say it's a slow time of the year, but, you know, this show is built around football, and football's in a kind of hiatus now. We got some news stories from football. I got some Motley Crue talk. We got a little bit of Yankees. We'll talk about some social issues. I got a couple social things I want to get to Jeff about tonight. And now we got a guest, David Lioncourt. You saw his video. David's newly with the RFO Records label, and David has a new single out called The American Scream, and we premiered that video. Well, we played that video. It's played all over the place. But we got a chance to show it tonight on our show, so we're looking forward to David popping on. Of course, thanks to John and Dave and Dougie and Sam Bone and everybody at RFO Records for setting it up for us, and we'll look forward to seeing that. But, guys, we got to get the show started. I'll just say this. The Yankees and Aaron Judge tomorrow arbitration hearing, and I got to tell you, folks, I think the Yankees did a great job of offering him a very fair contract before the season that he turned down. And so far, he's doing a good job, and it looks like a smart move. But I'm going to blast the Yankees for this real quick. You have your best player, your franchise player, the guy you're trying to get to sign long-term, but you want him to be fair with you. You're going to arbitration to pay him basically for what he did last year. You're offering him $17 million. He's asking for $21. Brian Cashman, Mr. Steinbrenner, Hal. Give him the $4 million. Why are we going into a room tomorrow to talk about what he can't do or what he didn't do? Folks, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Okay? Baseball, Yankees, Lon Trost, Hal Steinbrenner, pay the man $21 million. I would give him $28 million. But I do think the Yankees gave him a fair offer. But I would tell you, this time, this makes the Yankees look very bad. They're starting a very big series right now with the hated Houston Astros. Hate the Astros. But, again, guys, let's be fair. Pay the man. Not for this year. You're not paying him for what he's doing this year. You're paying him for last year. But you got to look at the eyes and say we want to keep him happy. All right, let's get the show started. I got Jeff hanging in there. My dad's hanging in there. You guys are hanging in there. We got a lot to talk about tonight, and I want to get it started right now. So let's do that. Let's bring on the sexiest man on his side of the screen, my buddy of 40 years. And the man whose birthday we'll be celebrating in a few weeks, the Pope himself, Mr. Jeff Kalwinski.
What's up, man?
What's up, pal?
You're a little hazy over there today.
Am I? You know, I think it's because I got the window open. The windows.
Oh, I think you got too much light coming in.
Hold on. Let's see if we can rectify it. I get one of the stage hands to fix that, Jeff. Hold on.
Stage hands, yeah.
Any better?
A little bit. I mean, would you put a new light bulb up in there?
No. I could dim that a little bit.
Usually, I mean, I don't know how to adjust the color on my computer anyway. But
too dark?
Too dark.
Yeah, I don't know. I could try.
It's probably the combination of the sun coming in and everything else. Too much light behind you.
Yeah, as the sun goes down, it'll go. But, Jeff, it's been another big week. The weather's been great. Jeff, like we start the show every week. Jeff, how was your week?
Another one down.
That's all you got?
That's about it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Are we still with the same schedule? Are we still on the Thursdays and Friday off working all the weekends?
Yeah, it sucks, too.
I know you had to work. I know you had to work it, but how was your Father's Day?
It sucked. I had to work. I had to be up at 4:30, be there for 6.
Oof. Wow.
Listen, any day you got to go to work, it sucks. It doesn't matter what day it is.
I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. I couldn't agree with you more. So, but, all right, listen, hopefully we'll pep up your week a little bit with a good ending to it. And we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I got a little bit of social issues I want to bring up to you. I want to get your thoughts on gun carry. I know it's a strange topic for the Hard Rock and Sports Show, but I saw a little bit of, you know, people have been waiting for the Supreme Court to hand down their ruling on Roe v. Wade, which we won't discuss here. But they did pass one today that basically says New York State has been basically breaking our Bill of Rights by denying people the opportunity to carry a gun, making it very tough on them. I'm curious on your mind. You know, some people's theory is if more people thought somebody might be carrying a gun, they'd be less likely to try to rob them. Some people say too many guns on the streets are bad. Do you have an opinion on this?
Well, let's put it this way.
Okay.
Bad people
mm-hmm.
do the crimes.
Right.
Are going to get their guns illegally anyway. So evidently,
correct.
It doesn't matter where their guns came from. They're not waiting for a permit.
No.
To carry them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's one thing.
I agree with that.
Second of all, I see the point of people saying, well, you know, if there was guns on the street, then maybe some of this wouldn't happen. I can understand that.
Mm.
But
yep.
for every person that thinks that way,
uh-huh.
there's going to be two that think they're going to go out and save the world. And
correct.
Them having a gun, like there's never going to be any crime, whatever zip code they're in again for the rest of their lives. And, hey, John, how are you? And
hey, boy.
And some of these people that are now going to be allowed to carry guns
mm-hmm.
should not be allowed to have a cap gun, much less a real gun.
I would agree with that. I think this should be – I believe it should be easier to get. And what I mean by that, Jeff, is that it's very tough to get a carry permit in New York City.
I know that.
All right. So – but I do think that this should be a better chance. Now, should you have to do – follow certain steps? Should you have to do a background check? Yes. Should you have to do a check to make sure you're not a raving lunatic? Yep, absolutely. Should you have to qualify at a range and know that you can actually use a gun? I think all those things should be part of owning a gun. I don't think it should be given away willy-nilly, but there are a lot of people who think, and again, I don't think it's for everybody. You know, I'm not sure I could carry a gun in New York City or anywhere else because it's a lot of responsibility.
You know, I don't right now today as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want a carry permit.
Okay,
I just not for me.
Right.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I would say no to having a gun in my house.
Correct.
You know, which I don't. But you never know. Maybe tomorrow I wake up and I say, well, you know what? I want to get a gun.
Right.
But to me, you know, it's my business. There's going to be people out there that can't wait to tell you that they have a gun on them.
Yeah.
And these are the people that you have to worry about because these idiots, if there's an argument and they hear it, are they going to pull out their gun and start running down towards the argument and be like, oh, break it up, and maybe fire a couple warning shots just to keep people at bay?
And it's possible.
There are going to be some idiots.
Sure.
Like I said, that should not be allowed to have this. No matter what the situation is, they shouldn't be allowed to have a gun. But that makes no difference whether there's a carry permit or not. These people just shouldn't have anything stronger than a slingshot, some of them.
Yeah.
People that are responsible. I know a lot of them. I know people that have guns at home, and they're responsible people. And I wouldn't have a problem with them carrying something on the street because they're not going to sit and talk, hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Besides, I mean, listen, if something happens, you're in the mall at Christmas time and there's a shootout, I'm just laying on the floor until I stop hearing, you know, guns going off. That's all I know.
Yeah. Well, listen, everybody's got to do what they have to do, react the way they need to react. And I just say there should be an opportunity to carry. I don't think it should be willy-nilly. Not everybody should. But we have a friend, a mutual friend. I'm not going to use his name because I don't think it's fair. But we have a friend who has a sister that lives out of state and in a state where open carry, in a city, in a state that's open carry. Basically, you can have a gun strapped to your hip. And it basically, he said to me, he said, you know, it's proven out there that there's very little crime because you don't know. At this point, they think everybody's basically carrying. So why would you take a chance on robbing somebody who probably has at least what you're carrying, if not more, on you? So I think there's something to be said for that theory. But then the other day, on Friday, I left work a little early, and my wife and I went down to a gun range in not too far from our town, and we shot a couple of rounds of with a Glock 17. And listened to the guys in the shop. One guy owned 200 and some guns. Another guy owned 180 guns. And I said to myself, that's an army. That's not protecting yourself. That I don't understand.
Oh, you know what? There are different kinds of guns.
Sure.
So depending, is he saying that he has 180 handguns?
180 guns. I did not hear a specification. I would imagine some long guns. I'm sure it's some long guns, some shotguns.
That has shotguns, hunting guns, handguns, all different kinds of guns.
Sure.
Semi-automatics, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's a hobby.
Absolutely.
It basically is a hobby.
Oh, 100%.
It's a right, yes, but it's also a hobby. If you get
it's
into
collecting.
Shooting,
mm-hmm.
who you hurt? You're not hurting anybody.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can have a gun now. What do they call it? There's a permit if you have the gun at your home.
Yes, you can have a I don't know what you want to call it, a home permit, whatever.
A premises permit.
There you go. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I agree.
But if you want to take it to the gun range,
mm-hmm.
you have to take it in a certified lock box
mm-hmm.
to the gun range, and it doesn't come out until you're in the gun range and everything else.
Correct.
I mean, listen. That's fine with me. Maybe there's some people, the way people drive, you don't need any of these idiots having a gun anyway. But as far as these people that say, you know, there's no violence in my area.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people also live in very small areas where there's 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know one another. So it's like, you rob one of them, it's like, well, hey, Joe just robbed Bill, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I think every situation is different.
Right. But
10,000 guns more on the street in New York City tomorrow, I don't think it's really going
to
make a difference.
To be honest with you, Jeff,
idiots that have
this law does not affect what's already happening in our city, in these cities anyway. You know, you said it brilliantly. The guns are here anyway. The criminals are going to get guns regardless if there's chance to get permits or not. You know, who knows? I mean, none of them are going to get permits themselves because they have criminal records. So most of the people who are going to get guns illegally, going to do it anyway, whether the law is there for them or not.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, so, you know, I was just curious. I didn't know where you stood. To me, again, I think if somebody passes a check, background check, and they do all the right things, and they're not deemed, you know, suicidal or crazy, well, I don't see the problem. But again, it's a big responsibility. The minute you decide you're going to put your hand on it and take it out in public, that is a big responsibility that not everybody should try.
Listen, the responsibility is this. You being level-headed enough to know not to pull it out at the least little situation.
Correct.
You know, you got your blinker on waiting to get a parking spot and some carload of kids slides in there before you could get in there.
Yeah.
That's not the situation to pull your gun out.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if there is a situation arising... And, you know, you're in the war with your wife and there's an argument happening and you see this rising, escalating. The best thing to do is to get out of there while you're going to sit there and wait for the moment to pull your gun. But there's going to be some people
that
are going to be doing that. They're going to be sitting there waiting for the moment to play cowboy and save the world. And those are the people that you got to worry about, whether there's gun permits or not.
Yeah, 100%. But, Jeff, you know what? The truth is, anybody who's is of that mind is going to have a gun anyway, and is probably whether they're going to be inclined to do it one way or the other anyway. So to me, again, I don't think you're going to see a huge rush on people getting guns in New York. But you know, again, if it's making it a little easier, and you know what, I think while New York is yelling and screaming about it, I think eventually they'll just make it a very expensive thing to do, and they'll collect the money for it. And you know, it is what it is.
Right now, I have a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is. You're not friends with him, though, but you've met him once or twice.
Okay.
And he decided that he wanted to get guns. So he went to this guy, and the guy charged $1,000.
Okay.
So he gives the guy $1,000, and the guy does all of the legwork for him.
Okay.
Now the letters start coming in the mail. So when the letter comes in the mail, it tells him, like, okay, you've been reviewed for your application to apply for a gun permit.
Mm-hmm.
Where we said, So you now need to come up to One Police Plaza within the next 48 hours so that we could talk to you in person or whatever it was.
Right.
So now they didn't say make an appointment or do this or do that. 48 hours to get here.
Right.
So they don't care if you're at work or you can't make it. If you can't make it, you go back on the end of the line and you start all over again.
Wow.
There's no like, I go, whatever. Then once you get the gun, if you get the letter 3 o'clock on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and they turn around and they tell you that you got to be back up to One Police Plaza for 4:15, and you live in Tottenville, you ain't making it. You know, not making it unless you got a helicopter.
Yeah,
even
then,
you have to be there when they tell you that you have to be there, regardless of when that letter gets to you.
Wow.
You don't make it, back on the end of the line, and then you start the process all over again. It is. They don't make it easy.
No, and I'm glad. They shouldn't be easy. Shouldn't be.
Easy enough to go through the steps.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like you got it. You know this is coming, and you know, okay, this should be here in a week. Keep your week clear. Don't make no appointments, no this, no that.
Right.
Because now you're gonna have to go, and that's it.
Oh, listen, I think it's a good thing, but we'll get more into this. I want to get my dad on, but Jeff, I want to give you a couple of pieces of news. First of all, our show has reached epic status in Israel. We are at over 14% of our audience is now in Israel. That's correct. We went from hovering around 8. We are at 14 and change in our final weeks. We will be closing down the Block Talk Radio site eventually. But we are at epic numbers for the show. 14, wow. Almost 50%, 15% of our show is now in Israel. Huge news.
Wow. That is huge news.
Just letting you know, the motherland has blessed you. I think they're reacting to your beard. I think
I could do something. If I could put the
little, you got
white platters here.
There you go. You got the curls working. So just want to let you know, we have reached epic numbers for the first time. In Israel, we want to thank our friends in Israel for the support. So, but
that's definitely, man. That is cool.
Yep, that is very cool. Let's get my dad on, see what he's got to say. We got a guest coming up at 7:40. Mr. David Lioncourt is from RFO Records. We'll be stopping by to say hello and chat about the video we played, his new single, The American Scream. So we'll get ready for that. But let's get my dad on and see what he's got to say, and then we'll move on. I'll talk about Vince McMahon. We've got a lot to talk about. What's up, Pop?
Hello, guys.
What's up there, Mr. Florio?
Jeff, you kill me, man. You had me on the floor last. You kill me. But what you were talking about, listen.
Yeah, Pop.
You can stand here all day. You can beat that horse to death. The problem with society is there's no accountability for anything.
I agree with that.
Three guys, if you go put 20 guys in a bar,
mm-hmm.
one of them gets drunk, goes out, hits somebody. They'll condemn everybody in there for drinking. It's the same thing with guns.
Sure.
You can't stop people from getting guns. You can get any kind of gun you want. You could buy a bazooka if you got the right amount of money. And you can probably buy an atomic submarine if you got the right amount of money. There's nothing you can do about it. The only thing, all I say to people is, one thing I always learn, if you're going to buy a gun, better be able to use it.
Right.
Pull it out on somebody. You're going to be in a lot of trouble if you can't use it. So besides that.
Yep, I would agree with that.
I'm interested in the what do you think of the draft tonight?
You know, Pop, I don't know. I mean, you know, Knicks need to move up. You know, I don't think there's a guy out there that's going to change the world for them. I hope, my only hope for the Knicks is get another solid player. And another guy who's an athlete. And I like the core group. I love Opie Toppin. I love Barrett, Mitchell Robinson. I love the nucleus of this team. And I hope that they don't screw it up by bringing in high-priced players who are at the end of their careers and all that stuff. So as far as tonight's draft, like I said, nobody's jumping up the page at me. And I don't think there's anybody who the Knicks could trade for or trade up to get that's going to make that big a difference. But you know, it's always fun to watch it.
It's amazing. When you watch the NBA draft or you leading up to the NBA draft,
mm-hmm.
they make it seem like the number one player taken, that's it. You never hear of anybody else in the first round.
Yeah.
So you don't know who these guys are. So with all the players that are eligible to be drafted, to go into the NBA,
mm-hmm.
it's one person per draft. You know what I mean?
Well, it's it's two rounds of the NBA draft. So there is a total.
No, but if you don't have that first pick.
Oh, no, if you're not picking the top three,
guy number two on sucks.
Yeah, it really, after the top three guys usually, and this year I'm not even sure it's that high, you know, it's basically a crapshoot. You're getting a decent player, a good athlete, but, you know, I don't think you're getting you're not getting the next Larry Bird or Magic Johnson.
No, of course not. But, I mean, it's just amazing, like, how it falls off the edge. You know, in the NFL draft, you could get a good guy at the end of the first round, even into the second round.
Sure.
Quality players. NBA draft, that's it. Pick number two, the guy's already worth half of what the guy that went first was.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's a cool look. Then again, it's about quantity for the NFL. And if you pick number seven and number six, some of those guys come out to be stars. You're good. You know, you got two shots. You know, and most likely the first one's the only one that's real. So I don't know, Pop. I think I'll have it on the screen, but I'm not expecting much.
Yeah, I don't expect. And the Irving.
Kyrie Irving now. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, the Knicks already. I don't even think they'd have to be suicidal to even look at him.
I would agree.
Pick a guy like that.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, the guy's got all the talent in the world. Okay, he's a game changer. The problem is him. He's what the Knicks don't need, in the sense that you can't trust him to play. I mean, there's a reason why the Nets, after investing the time and the money in him, 3 years are balking at giving him. You know, they have an automatic amount of money they can give him. And it's more than anybody can give him. And they're afraid to do it because of the last 3 years. So is all the talent in the world worth the distraction and the problem that he become? Jeff, he wakes up on a Thursday and goes, "Hey, my nephew's having a birthday party tonight, and I'm going to go to that. I'm going to miss the next three games." And he's done it. So, you know.
I know. It's unbelievable with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a great talent.
Yeah.
He's an incredible player, but he just doesn't have the focus.
Wow.
But I guess when you're paying him so much money, you got to do what you got to do to get him on the floor. And then if you're stuck with him, you know, try to get unstuck with him and load him off.
Well, that right now they have that. If they have that opportunity, but you know, if they don't sign him, the Nets, they basically wasted the last 3 years. The whole idea was to get these two guys together for a full season. They have that ability coming up.
Well, it was 3 years.
The last three years. Yeah.
Harden.
Yeah. Harden's gone now.
Kyrie
yeah.
Irving.
Yeah.
And Durant.
Correct.
And they haven't been able to do it.
Nope. And that's the problem. So, Dad, you know, if I'm the Knicks, you know, you're intrigued because he's such a big talent, but you know, he's just such a distraction. He's a
head. Is he going to turn your team around?
Is he going to put you
in a playoff?
Yeah, he could. He
didn't do it for the Nets.
No, I got it. I got it, but he didn't. He did do it for Cleveland. You know, he's got the ability to do it. He could do it if he kept his head on straight and played every night the way he's capable of. But if I was the Knicks, I wouldn't do it. To me, I would not do it.
I would touch him for free.
He brings a lot of baggage, and I would run from him. Any team I think would want to run from him to give him the money and then the hassles that he brings. Here's the thing: if you're the Knicks, it's that allure of he's got so much talent and ability that you just hope maybe 1 year he'll put it all aside and play the game. With him, Barrett, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson, if they sign Robinson, they'd have a damn good team and they'd be fighting for that Eastern Division. But you're right, it's just probably not worth the effort.
He's just going to turn around when wake up one morning and decide that Israel is getting screwed over and he feels sorry and he shouldn't play. And you know, I understand where you're coming from. But, you know, when you start playing sports, it's a team effort.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the few sports that one guy makes a big difference.
Yeah, no.
Football, really, you know, baseball, the same thing. Hockey, the same thing.
Last year, when we were sitting talking about him last year, when he decided that he was not going to get vaccinated.
Right.
A lot of people stood up and looked at him as a hero because he stood up against everybody that was pushing a vaccine on people. Now this year it turns around and bites him in the ass because now he's not a team player.
Yeah, but what about the other people? You know, it's like I understand where you're coming from and people think of him as some kind of a hero because he stood up. But, you know, you have to look at around you who you're hurting. And he's hurting his team.
I hear you.
Getting paid. Even if he's not getting paid.
But I agree with that. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, Jeff maybe included, I won't speak for him, who had a job that were forced to get the vaccine that, you know, didn't have the ability or the platform that he did to speak out. So while I don't like the guy, I actually respected the fact that he said, hey, the Nets chose to pay him and that's their fault. But, you know, I respect the guy. I say, you know what, I don't want to take this thing and you're not going to force me. And if I have to sit out, I don't agree with it as a teammate.
I have no respect for the guy at all.
You know, no, I don't either. Don't get me wrong. But I
can't see a guy that says, screw you. You know, it's like us getting into a bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I'm going in there to help Jeff out or Jeff's coming to help me out and we get in there and Jeff says, oh, no, I can't do that. I don't want to hurt this guy. Well, I'm getting the shit kicked out of me and you're worried about being a nice guy.
I get it, but again, he shouldn't have to have gotten. You know, here's the thing that made no sense, Bob. He can go play in any other city but New York without getting vaccinated, but he couldn't play. He could practice in New York City. He couldn't play in a game in New York City because he wasn't vaccinated. So where's the logic in it?
But Tom,
your first logic is to your team. You're playing.
I don't know.
Forget the manager. Forget the owners. Forget New York City. Your first is there are a lot of guys there that don't make his $30-something million a year. Okay? So
I agree with that.
And a lot of people they sell out the Garden every night. So, you know, where does it end? You know, you should have thought of this before time and said, well, this is what I'm going to do. If you want me, this is out. I just think I think this guy's one of those guys that, you know, what he thinks is what's right, and he don't.
I agree with that, Jeff. You were trying to say
he's done too many things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If last year in the vaccination status was the only thing that led up to all of this that we're talking about right now, as far as Irving is concerned, it would be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was too many times, too many other instances where he caused himself to be a distraction and he didn't put the team first. Now, while I agree with him with what he did as far as not taking the vaccine,
right?
I can understand that and everything else, even if he hurt the team, because somewhere somebody had to make a stand for that. But it was all the other things that he did and all the other instances
agreed.
Where he acted out, where he ruined other people's chances, that it didn't matter what he was standing up for at this point in time. You know, he's not been speaking out against anything. He's just becoming another distraction once again. And that's what his career is going to be based on.
Oh, Jeff, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more on all of that because you're right. That's the thing. While I understand and I disagree with my dad a little bit on the, you know, that he owes any of his teammates. Like, nobody owes putting something in your body that you don't want. You know, I don't believe that our police officers and firemen should have been forced to do it. I don't think that you should have been forced to do it. If you want to do it, you do it. And again, the problem I have with it, and I got to back the guy up, is I can practice in New York City. I can walk into the Garden and not be vaccinated, but I can't play basketball in Madison Square Garden because I'm not vaccinated. The science now is out the window. So now you're basically telling me, okay, I'm forcing you to do something just because I feel like making you do it. Not because there's a, you know, hey, nobody in New York City can work without it. I get it. But it's not that way. You can't tell me that I could sit in the Garden 2 feet behind you without being vaccinated, but you sitting in the front and playing, you have to be vaccinated because you're working.
Right.
Makes no sense. So I don't like the guy, and I would run from him.
There's a lot of things that make no sense with that.
Yeah.
That would go with the guns.
No, I agree.
The alcohol,
yeah, of course.
Driving, all of that. If nothing makes any sense, it's what benefits for you at that time.
Absolutely. 100%.
I don't want to let you go. I know you got people.
Yeah, go enjoy, watch the game. 3-3. That 3-3, in there. They just tied it up 3-3.
Yeah, what's his name?
Stanton. Stanton.
There you go.
All
right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Pop.
Enjoy. Talk to you later.
I'll see you over the weekend.
See you later, Mr. Floro.
You got it, Dad. So, Jeff, just to talk a little Yankees before our guest comes on and we move on. So right now the Yankees are, I think, 51-19. I think it's 51-19. Yeah, I think they played 68, 69 games at this point. Let's say it's 70 games. You know, they've got 51, 52 wins. If they were to go 500 the rest of the way, they will win close to 98 games for the season, just going 500 the rest of the way. If they would even remotely play better than that, forget it.
You wait till after the All-Star break.
Uh-huh.
And this is it. I guarantee you this is a team that's going to come out of this in a complete fucking funk. They're not going to be what you think they are in the second half.
You're throwing a Maloike at them?
No, I'm not. I'm not throwing. I'm not praying that happens or whatever.
I'm just saying.
But all these teams that start off hot in April, May, and June are going to end up cooling off somewhere down the line, and it's going to be at the wrong time. And a team that's 30 games over 500 now, or whatever it is that they're over 500, it's not going to be the same team come the middle of October when they need to be. You know,
it's possible.
I understand they're winning in different ways and
they're
doing it. But is this a team that's capable of staying the course the entire season?
That's what we're going to find out.
Where'd you get this from?
Get what?
This little banner on the bottom. That's a new one.
Oh, that is. You know what? You know what that is, Jeff? That's just one of the comments. I clicked on the comment and it moves it over to the thing.
That's pretty cool.
So I could actually do it like that.
That's nice too, but we don't need him there.
I'm just saying I could do that with that any of the comments.
That was nice, man. That's nice. That's cool.
Yeah, so anyway, I didn't even know I did that. But, yeah, guys, Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tommy on a Thursday night, hanging around until we run out of things to talk about, as the new song says. So stick around. We got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Gronk retiring. I'm going to ask Jeff I'm going to give him a chance to think about it. I'm going to ask him, what is the best tight end quarterback combination ever? Is it Brady and Gronk, as some people like to say? I don't put that there, but it's close. But there's is Gronk the greatest tight end of all time, as some people try to put it? And I have to think about that one. So after our guest, Mr. David Lioncourt, we'll get to that. We're going to talk about Vince McMahon and him stepping away. Jeff, interesting. You know, to me, it was an interesting thing because, you know, he's not being sued by anybody. He's not facing any criminal charges or civil suits. This is strictly the fact that his company has a board of directors, and he paid some hush money that they didn't know about, and they're investigating him. It's his company, I would have thought, but what's your thought on very, very quick on that? I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on it.
Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand what was going on in his mind. From what I understand, him and his wife are no longer together. And they're not married. They're not living together as man.
Oh, really? That I did not know.
So they are married, but they're not living together as man and wife.
Okay.
But they won't divorce because it goes against the family-friendly persona, I guess you could say, that they're trying to come off as a company.
Right.
With WWE at this point in time.
Okay.
But $3 million hush money.
Yeah.
$3 million hush money.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unbelievable amount of money.
Sure.
An unbelievable amount of
and
money.
And for one person.
Well, that we know that of we right know. Now.
They said they're investigating. So, yes, I'm saying the $3 million seems to be the one person. This was the person he hired for $100,000, and then after having a sexual, an apparent or alleged sexual relationship, he decided to pay her $200,000 a year.
I'm beginning to think that there might have been some tinkering around in the old McMahon coup.
Do you think so?
Something had to be because
you're thinking she did some extra special bonus sex.
I think she was double knuckle deep in his poop. Yeah,
interesting.
Has to be
the hell of a deal you got there.
$3 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't something. So you're Vince McMahon, you'd be like, yeah. So I banged this chick. So I doubled her salary because I just wanted her to shut up and go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's up to $3 million.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. I'm guessing this was some sort of a parting gift, non-disclosure, an NDA agreement where he said, I'm going to give you $3 million. You're going to go away, and I'm never going to hear your name again. And then somebody ratted him out.
If you're making $100,000.
Yep.
Okay. And somebody boosts your pay up to $200,000.
Yeah.
And they call you in the office and they'll be like, listen, what do we got to do to make this go away? I give you $1 million cash. You know,
yeah.
You go away. You never wrestle again.
Yeah, I don't think this was a wrestling employee. This was like somebody working behind the scenes, like a secretary or something.
I heard it was another wrestler.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
I heard. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to think, how much money is a female wrestler going to make over the course of her lifetime? Jump at the million, $2 million number and running away, right?
I don't know. I don't know what wrestlers make. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't know what endorsement deals they get. I mean, and then this is just speculation that I heard, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know for sure who it was.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I have not seen that. So I have not seen who the person is. But
only knows for $3 million. I hope she was worth it, Vinny.
Yeah. You know, and I got to tell you, I'm a semi-young, viral kind of guy, Jeff. I'm hoping at 70-something years old, I'm a little above and beyond, relying on paying some woman to work for me so I can harass the shit out of them. You know what I'm saying? At some point, you gotta file Peter away with the, you know, retirement time, you know?
No, definitely not. If I was a fucking millionaire and I wasn't married and my wife wasn't in the picture, I'd be getting sued for millions of dollars all the time. I'd be like, I woke up this morning. I'm snorting cocaine off a hooker's ass. I'm going to be sexually harassing everybody. I'm just walking the hallways of the building with it out. Well, who's going to stop me?
That's what I'm saying. I don't see anything with this other than his own company's investigating him. So it's an interesting thing. And now but he still remains in creative control. Like, he still wanted to, and I think that's the thing he should have stepped away from, because the creative part of it has sucked for years.
Yeah, it's not what it once was.
No,
without
not.
A doubt.
Nope.
But, I mean, listen, he must be doing something right, because he's from doing high school gyms.
Yeah, no, that's 100%.
Setting up chairs on his own to,
yeah,
you know, selling out arenas a couple nights a week and
all over the world.
You know, and paying women $3 million for
and hush money
to be sexually harassed. It's
quite a leap.
Yeah, I you know, and to think this too, $3 million for him is probably nothing.
I was sure, pocket change.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah. John's got his idea of the best tight end combos. Let's see, Brady and Gronk, the others are Mahomes.
Stop right there.
What?
His first does not matter. John Mark Hecker, you said the best tight end quarterback combo is Brady and Gronk.
Yep.
The others, we're not even acknowledging. You just acknowledged the best, Tom Brady. I'm sickened by seeing that. That is disgusting, John.
Oh, boy. And yes, Doug, what you heard from Jeff was definitely from experience. He's been knuckle deep many times in his life, so it's a true story. But
not in mine.
I've
been married for several years now, almost 20 years. And, you know, this.
Hey, Carrie. Well, we'll get back to Jeff's sexual exploits after our guest. We have him up there now. We're going to get David Lyon caught on in a second. But first, I want to say thank you to all the people who helped sponsor, all the friends of the show, especially our good friends at Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. If you guys are out there and you got a buddy or even a woman with a beard like Jeff's, you got to check out Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. They got the best stuff. Jeff, tell them about it. You're better than tell it.
Listen. Let's right now. If you're a man, you buy this. If you have a woman that has this, you get a weed whacker. You don't want her feeding this. You don't want her nurturing it. You don't want her to do that. Okay? Unless you got hair on her armpits or hair in her back or, you know, hair on someplace else. We're not allowed to say here. And you want that, then you get this. Or if she has hair on her chin, just weed whacker it off. But this is good stuff. I'm making an order tomorrow. Tom, do you want anything?
Do I want anything?
Yeah,
Jeff, I'm clean. I'm a little cliche, but I am going to make some products. I did notice a couple of pet members of my family who are growing the excessive beard, so I'm going to be placing an order And we said it. And look, yeah, there it is. My man from Black Sasquatch, Hemp Wizard, Fam Strong. There you go. Black Sasquatch is a big proud sponsor of the show as well. So,
smell this.
Jeff, smells terrific.
Does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
We're gonna
finally out.
We're gonna get some more together, but let me play this little bitty commercial, and then we're gonna pick up David Lioncourt on the other side. Everybody, stick around. We got a lot to talk about tonight. And we're just getting ourselves started. Hope you guys have had a great weekend. I hope your Father's Day was good and all of that. So sit back, stand by for one sec. Let me figure out this is and play that. Get ready. Well, without further ado, let's get him up on the screen. He is... He's up new, I think, with the RFO Record family, and we opened up our show tonight with his new single, The American Scream, and we're proud to have a tremendous vocalist, guitar player, musician on our show, and let's get David Lioncourt right on with Jeff. And, all right, David, how are you, buddy?
What's up, dude? How are you guys?
Dave, I noticed you got a little bit of the chin whiskers going there. We're going to have to get you hooked up with the boys from Hemp Wizard Beer Care. Go get you some product. You can, you know, it's got a little steroid in it. That's how Jeff got the big beard going.
So all I need to do is like a couple applications and I can look like Jeff, right?
There you go.
No.
No? No. No.
Three applications.
You need to send a couple fucking t-shirts this way. We give you this,
okay,
then you get
right.
This.
Tip for tat. Got it. Copy.
There's definitely quid pro quo around here, David. There's a lot of quid pro quo. But listen, I know you're newly a father, and you got a little bit of an older child, another son, I believe. Congratulations,
yeah.
And happy post-Father's Day for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I got two little boys, so I am I'm absolutely blessed and stoked to have a new little guy in the family.
Well, speaking of family, I know you're part now of the RFL family, and Jeff and I feel that we are part of that family. We've been we do a lot of stuff with Dougie, and of course, John and I and Jeff do a show on the weekends during football season. So
nice.
we feel that we are all part of the RFL family. But tell us about it. How did you get started with John and Doug and the gang, and how do you feel being over there?
So the whole kind of story with RFL, it began, I believe it was like July 6th of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
My old band Lioncourt, we were playing at the Whiskey in L.A., and Doug was present, and we had never met prior to that. He caught the show,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it was one of those things where like he and I kind of hit it off instantly. He was a big fan of the tunes, the music that I was writing for that band. You know, so he introduced me to John shortly after that. Probably within like 6-7 months after he and I met, he probably introduced me to John. And since then, we've kind of always kept in touch. It's kind of been a reoccurring theme where they like kind of have reached out, you know, kind of seeing where I was at, whether I was open to certain things or not. But, you know, fast forward to now, you know, I'm doing my own thing. Just, you know, just kind of like doing like this solo David Lioncourt gig. So now it just felt like a good time to, you know, join forces and collaborate on pushing this as much as possible.
And listen, and the music sounds great, but now, so why is now the time for you to be out there solo with RFL? What's the difference between that and the time you spent with Lioncourt? Why is now that opportunity?
You know, everything just kind of came together. Like the guys in the band, we were all kind of moving in different directions,
mm-hmm.
in terms of where everybody wanted to go, how everybody wanted to present the band. So it just felt. It felt good in the fact that we could all come together and just agree that, hey, you know what, this was fun. But we all kind of want to do, you know, for the most part, everybody wanted to do their own thing. So two of the guys, they left and they started a different band. And then the remaining two guys that were in Lioncourt with me, they followed me into this project. So now we have 3/5 of Lioncourt is in this band. You know, so I have Cesar Rios on drums and Robert John Ghost on bass. And then I'm taking over all the guitar duties along with singing. So we're going to be kind of coming out as a 3-piece for a while. And then, if, you know, throughout time, if we find a fourth guy that can play the guitar in the way that, you know, I perceive is needed, then we might add that dude in. But for the time being, we're just having a good time, you know, playing just straight up hard rock with 3 dudes.
And it sounds great. I love the music. I want to get into it. Now, you know, what I hear now is kind of different than what I hear from a lot of the bands that come through the show. But when I go back and I research your start, and I see where your influences are. And if I'm right, you got a big 80s kind of vibe to your youth with bands like Motley Crue and Skid Row. You seem a little young for that. How did you get into those bands?
That was kind of like one of those things where, I was visiting my dad over like spring break, and this was at a time where everybody had the CD collection under like the TV at the entertainment center, right? The little spinny dude.
The little Rolodex type thing. Yeah. Jeff's got four of them in his house right now.
So I was kind of bored, just hammering out, like looking through stuff. And I pulled out this CD and I didn't know who this was. And it said Motley Crue on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, like 13 or 14 years old. So I just threw that CD in. And that was kind of like the kickoff of my love for all things 80s. So, I mean, from then, from Motley Crue to Dawkins to Skid Row, Queensryche, Whitesnake, that list goes on. Those are all bands that were highly influential for me when I was, learning to play the drums, learning to play the guitar,
mm-hmm.
when it came time to doing songwriting, how I play certain phrasing on guitar is influenced by George Lynch, or like some people will say that they can hear Jeff Tate in certain things I do vocally, or Sebastian Bach or Vince Neil. And it's all true mm-hmm. to the fact that all those guys were, hugely influential on me when I was, learning how to do all this.
Wow, and I got to, and again, guys, we're talking to David Lion Court. He's got his new single, "The American Scream." We played the video to open the show tonight, and it kicks ass. If you're a fan of the hard rock scene, you got to love this. It's got a little I want to call it a drama rock to it. Where does your songwriting and your songwriting come from? Because it seems like it comes almost from a dark place.
That's kind of always been, it's just how the songs came out for me. It wasn't something that I set out to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it happens like it was, it's been all organic. I mean, even if you go back and you listen to the stuff that I wrote in Lion Court,
mm-hmm.
like there's this common thread of like some underlying darkness that, again, for me, it's not something that I'm going to sit down and write this super moody, dark tune. It's just when I write music, that's what kind of comes out. So, I mean, there's definitely the influence of the 80s in there,
mm-hmm.
But there's also the influence of, like, that early 90s rock, because I was also hugely influenced by, Alice in Chains and Layne Staley. So there's a certain element of that I've kind of, like, blended, 80s and 90s rock into my own thing. So that's probably where you get some of that. You got the 80s flair, but then some of the attitude and the darkness, the heaviness that was, understated within, like, 90s rock.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting combination, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely hear the 80s rock in there without a doubt. And, the 90s, the Alice in Chains definitely has a little bit of an edge to it. The videos that I've seen are a little bit on the darker side, so I could see how you're getting at the makeup and the stage wear is pretty cool. It's different than what a lot of people are doing today.
Thanks, man.
How far do you feel as though that something like that may carry you? Like, is it going to be a burden a year from now that you were known for maybe the dramatic makeup and the costumes, or are you looking to get away from that anytime soon?
So
in regular clothes.
So basically, that was all the whole thing with that. That was the vision that I had for Lion Court, for that band, for what we were doing then. And I thought that it really kind of it fit well with what I was trying to accomplish. But with this, with what I'm doing now, visually, it's going to be straight up rock and roll. There will be no costumes. There will be no, black makeup everywhere. This is like just straight up hard rock, with rock musicians. So the costume thing won't be a factor. So if you think of Lion Court, the band, as it was as, like, let's say, Motley Crue's Theater of Pain, this, how I'm going forward now, is going to be girls, girls, girls.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Now the references to Motley Crue, I got to challenge it a little bit, only because I love Motley Crue. The records, Motley Crue Live, is not good. I mean, I've only gone once. I've seen some videos. I don't find them to be a great live band, but a tremendous band. I love the first couple albums, just two of the best albums I've ever got to listen to. Have you gone to see them live? I'm assuming you have, since you're a big fan.
Yeah, I've seen Motley probably like five or six times.
I got to ask, have you felt a little disappointed in the act, what you hear live?
I mean, you know, it is one of those things where you hope that the artists you go to see are going to sound like the record.
Yes.
And I think that everybody at this point has the understanding that Motley is not one of those bands.
Right.
But
no.
For me, like growing up, and like what they personified to me was such an impactful thing that me personally, like, I think that I'll always just give Motley a pass because of how much they influenced me through my childhood, through the dark times, through, you know, making me want to be a better drummer, to, you know, play drums like Tommy Lee, or to write songs like Nikki Sixx, or, you know, to sing stuff that Vince did on Shout the Devil when his voice was killer, you know?
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, Vince Neil on Shout the Devil is, that's like peak Vince Neil, right? Like in terms of his voice, attitude, you know, that for me is like the killer sound of Vince, right?
To me, that's the pinnacle for me for Motley. I love the song Saints of Los Angeles. There's some stuff after that is not bad. There's some I can listen to. But to me, the pinnacle is Shout the Devil. I mean, that is just, that's it. I mean, I heard that album. Me and Jeff were in the room together 40 years ago listening to that. I don't think he was thrilled with it, but I absolutely loved it. And we saw them live, and it wasn't great.
Could I weigh in real quick?
Please,
on this?
Please.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm sorry, and I don't mean no insult to anybody here, but I think that Motley Crue has to be two of some of the worst musicians I've ever seen. And two that are well within the running but are a little bit better. I think Nikki Sixx has got to be one of the worst bass players. A lot of people say things about Mick Mars. I just don't like him. Vince Neil, I just don't think the man could sing.
Not anymore.
And anybody could do that in the studio. You could put it together in the studio, but you want to impress people live. The stuff that I've seen from you that you can do, I think that you'll be able to pull that off live. I think you'll be able to impress people live. I love your music. I think your music is great. I think your voice is great. It very much reminds me a lot of Jeff Tate. But like Motley Crue, I could see being influenced by them. But you know, I just can't get in. I can't. I was behind them for a short time when that album came out. And I just can't. I don't know.
No, listen, we all have our opinions and our dislikes and dislikes, and it doesn't weigh on anything else other than three guys having a conversation like we were sitting at a bar talking about it. But
I don't mean no insult, so please don't take it that way.
I'm not insult. I mean, I think that we can all agree that the statements that you said are accurate, right?
Yes.
Like, can Nikki Sixx play bass? Not really. You know, like, can Mick Mars really shred? No. Can Vince sing? Well, I mean, in the studio, yeah. We've all seen it. I've seen it live in person.
Yeah. It's hard to deny it. Yeah.
You know, for me
personally,
Tommy
Lee may be the best musician.
I think Tommy Lee's the best musician out of the bunch.
But, oh, absolutely. Tommy Lee is the guy that pretty much, you know, I think saved that band more than life.
Yeah, and he's more theatrical than anything else.
But, you know, it was like some of those things that, you know, for me as a kid that were inspirational, that like gave you that extra drive to – want to sit down behind a drum kit and play for 3 hours instead of 15 minutes, you know? So,
the problem was, David, to be honest with you, and first of all, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 38.
All right. So you're not that far behind us, but you're far enough behind us to have seen our music from a different perspective. When the Motley Crue album came out, Shout at the Devil, another album came out real quick right after that. And that was Kill 'Em All.
Ah.
And that's Motley Crue just got run over by a steamroller with Gallagher written all over it.
Yeah,
they didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, it's so true.
And that's what happened to Motley Crue. As far as like guys in our age bracket were concerned, it was like, oh, look, Shout at the Devil. What's this? Kill 'Em All. And here it comes. And that was
then it was over. Then it was just, you know, Ride the Lightning, Master Puppet.
Oh.
And then you have, you know, like Testament coming out with Practice What You Preach.
But, we've sat on here and knocked the shit out of Metallica because after first four, five, six albums, let's call it, there was a steep decline, and they stopped putting out albums every 10 years. You know, we got an album every 10 years, so... We can knock Metallica all day too here. We've done it.
Motley Crue puts out an album once in a while. Metallica goes 10 years without an album.
Yeah. So we love the music from that era. We grew up with it. We've seen Queensryche and Maiden and Priest and Black Sabbath. We've seen all the bands. So
absolutely,
we loved it all. But we're here to talk about you and what you're up to. So let's get back to that. And you know, American Scream. Tell me about it, because I can't figure out what it is. Like what was in your mind when you were putting that song together and then the video?
So for the American Scream, that was kind of one of those songs that it kind of came fairly quickly for me. I mean, for me, when it comes to songwriting, to kind of talk about Metallica again, for me, I use like what I like when people ask me about songwriting, I tell them I use the Metallica method, where it's like I always want to start off a song with a riff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
So it's I'm always a riff guy. You know, Metallica is just as influential on me than anybody else in James Hetfield, you know, in guitar playing. You know, obviously we all know the power of the mighty Hetfield right hand.
Oh yeah.
So,
best downstroke in the business.
Amen to that, brother. So when it comes to songwriting, like I always think of Metallica, like I need to write a riff. Like this riff has to be sick. It has to capture me. So it starts with riff. Everything else goes through. But in terms of lyrically and everything like that, you know, that was all influenced by 2020. You know, all the shit that everybody had to go through, all the things that we all felt, the difficulties that maybe we all had. So that was just basically me kind of pinning my frustrations on, you know, where everything was and the time. And it just, you know, I try to keep it, you know, not too specific so that anybody can interpret it in the way that they may feel is necessary for them. But for me at the time, that was kind of like where I was at. And so it just all kind of came out like that. So, I mean, I probably, you know, over the course of, I would say like an afternoon, wrote that song and then went in the studio and, you know, played all the guitar parts, all the bass parts, sang everything, and probably knocked that out in like 2.5 hours.
Wow. And Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom talking with our buddy David Lioncourt. He's promoting not only his new stuff and what's I'm going to get to what's coming up in the future and his now his time with the good boys over at RFL Records. And, of course, we love RFL and all the bands. I need to get some stuff from Westlake one of these days, but we'll get to that on another show. Tell Jeff Westlake to stop producing other people's stuff and put something out already, guys. But I'll talk to Doug off the air about that. I can't yell at John. He's my buddy. But Dougie, I can yell at. He's a Cowboy fan, but that's a whole different. But let me ask you, when you're writing, I'm curious. I love to ask this question to guys like yourself. When you're writing, when you're sitting down, do you sit down to write an album? Do you sit down to write a bunch of songs? And if you're writing an album, is there a theme about it, or do the songs just have to? Is it just a collection of 10 songs or 12 songs? How is it when you're? What's your focus when you're writing new material for an album or for a collection of songs?
I mean, I think for all of those scenarios, for me, it's always kind of like the same idea. If I'm writing music that I want to hear,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much, that's it. I want to sit down and I pick up the guitar. Like my goal for myself is to write something that moves me in some way. Like, is this heavy? Does this have a cool riff? Does the melody in the verse capture you? Is the hook super catchy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much fun am I having, you know, playing it, recording it, performing it, you know? But I mean, it's all about just having a good time, but I thoroughly enjoy just sitting down and picking up, you know, a guitar. And again, just starting off with a riff that is like, yes, this is sick. And then, you know, that inspiration you get from knowing that what you're playing is like, dude, this is rad. And then you just kind of just keep chipping away at it until, okay, I had this cool intro riff. It's going to go into the, you know, the range is going to the verse like this. I'm going to put a pre-chorus. Then we got a hook. And then, you know, figure out what you want to do within there, but it's all
wow.
about having a good time. And again, like I'm just writing the music that I want to hear. I mean, obviously for me, music, listening to music outside of the 80s and 90s stuff that I grew up listening to, it can be a little more difficult trying to find something new.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm really into.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like what kind of really kind of kicked off the songwriting thing was, well, I'm just going to fill this void because like, this is what I think that hard rock should sound like today. So this is my take on 80s and 90s with this modern twist, you know? So it's like, I'm just writing music that I want to hear.
I think it's great. And I see that you've had over 100,000 streams in the new year. So, I mean, that's amazing. And I think it's admirable. And I think it's wise. You know, be yourself, put out music that you love because you'll be happy doing it. Not something that you think other people might want to listen to because, you know, there's so much stuff in the way. There's so much music out there, and most of it's just fake shit. You know, people throwing up, you know, garbage that you got to get your music through all of that to the right people. And I think you've done that, not only you know, coming here, but, of course, with the guys from RFL. And you couldn't have better champions in your corner than those guys.
Yeah, they've been great so far. I mean, I've known John and Doug for, you know, going on 3 years. And it's been great every time, you know, talking with those dudes. So far, so good.
Yeah, and you got to cut Doug some slack. I mean, he's got some issues. He's a Dallas Cowboy fan. I mean, listen. I love the guy anyway. You know, he's got a serious character flaw, but we try to look past it and let him come hang around. But he's still a great guy. We love Dougie here. But so listen. So now that the American Scream is out. What's next? Is there full albums coming? Is there more singles coming? I know. You guys go back in the studio in July. I thought I saw on the podcast last night when you were talking with the boys. What's up next?
So basically what I'm doing now is this weekend I'm actually going to begin filming the official video for the American Scream. So like the full live performance video with all the guys, we'll be shooting that this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then July 9th and 10th, I'll be back in the studio. I'm going to do two more singles to carry me through the year. And then for 2023, I'm still on the fence, but I'm leaning into putting out, you know, like a 10 to 12 song full-length record for, you know, 2023. I still haven't decided whether or not I want to go all full ham on the record or to continue to do singles, only because with how things are today, mm-hmm. singles seem to get more momentum.
Yeah.
Than records do, you know, so it's to be determined. But for the year so far, I've written over 30 songs. I pretty much write a song every time I sit down. So we'll see what happens.
Listen,
all this is going on, and Tommy, poor Tommy's getting shredded by his own buddy there online, man. Wow.
Doug's right for the heart, man. That's all right. I can take it, Doug.
I let him. Jump on my coattails, Doug. It's okay.
Unbelievable. One thing I would tell you: keep up the writing because it's great stuff, and I love the videos. So how much work is that now nowadays trying to put these videos together?
I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I've been DIY from day one, so you know I'm writing everything myself. I'm doing all the demos in the house myself. You know, trying to get videographers, people to record it, making contacts. I run all the social media. So it's like, it can be, you know, daunting, but this is the world we live in. And this is what you've got to do if you want to be heard. You know, you can't just put out a song and throw it out there and share it on your Facebook and hope that friends and family are going to care. You know, you got to put it in the work. So it's just a necessary evil like anything else.
Well, last one for me before I get you to give me all the websites and social media, you got to go on stage. You got to play one song, one set. What's the guitar you're taking on stage with you?
I'll probably take my 2014 Les Paul Standard.
Okay, that's the guitar when you're sitting down in the house and you're gonna jam and you're gonna write and just throw out some riffs. That's the guitar you go to.
I have over 15 guitars, so it depends on the day. I might grab an SG, I might grab a Les Paul.
Okay.
You know, I got seven strings in here. I might do some like just heavy like crash stuff, or I might just, you know, do standard tuning and sit here and play along with like Testament. You know, so it just depends.
Well, it's all good stuff. Listen, Dave, do me a favor. Give everybody the website. Give them some social media. Give them some place they can keep up with what you're doing here because it's great stuff, and we want to get behind you. We want to make sure that we give you our full support. So throw it out there.
All right, my dudes. First off, you want to hit me up on Facebook. It's David Langcourt Official. Instagram, David Langcourt Music. I have a website, davidlangcourt.com. Those are the three easiest way to keep in contact, to keep up with all the information that's happening as I post on all those pretty much daily. So thank you to both of you guys. Appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on here. It's been fun. And hopefully you guys don't give Doug too much crap about being a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys.
We love them. And also, guys, you can also go to rforecords.com. I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff up there for David and for all the other artists at RFO. We know we love them all. We try to have as many guys on as we can. We've become friends with some of them, even Doug. So, make sure you check out rforecords.com. And, of course, go to Dave's website and make sure you guys support this musician. It's great. It's great. It's great music, stuff that you will find yourself sitting in the car and driving very fast because it just – your foot gets on the gas pedal and you just want to go. And Jeff's right. Your voice is definitely in that Jeff Tate category. It's really great. So
that's high praise.
No, listen.
My dad would be proud. That Queens Rice is his favorite band. So
I've seen him 4 or 5 times in my life. Jeff's probably seen him more than that.
I've seen him about 10 times.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands. We've had Jeff on the Jeff Tate on the show 3 or 4 times.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, we've been lucky enough we've had Michael Wilton a couple times. He was a great guy. So we've been lucky into that. But listen, Dave, we wish you the best. Good luck on the new stuff. We want you to come back whenever you feel like it. Promote.
Absolutely.
Send us the videos. You know, even if you can't make it on, send the videos. We'll play them on the show. And we're going to be big supporters of yours. We think the music's great. Don't change it. Go out there and full steam ahead. And keep up the stuff with the great with the 80s rock, because that's where we come from.
Absolutely. Can't stop, won't stop.
David Lioncourt, thanks for joining us here on the Hot Rockin' Sports Show. Good luck to you. We'll see you down the road.
See you later, man.
Later, bud.
All right, guys. That's David Lioncourt. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Hell of a musician. My God. Great, great voice, Jeff. You nailed it. I thought so. And thanks to everybody out there, Carrie and Doug. Doug, you know I love you. I break your balls. I love Doug. And Johnny Mahefka and everybody over at RFL. Thanks all you guys for coming around tonight. And Carrie, don't be a stranger. Don't come around just when they have the RFL stuff. Come on. Support. Israel's supporting us now, Jeff. Everybody's got to support us.
Listen.
14% of the audience is just...
Honestly, you don't want to come on. You don't have to come on. We got Israel.
We got Israel. That's it. We're good.
I never thought that I'd be standing behind a country such as that.
Well, I mean, they are supporting us, Jeff. Yeah, we're going to have to support back.
I understand that. I have to stand behind them. And,
so now you're against the Palestinians and you're for the Israels and the Israelites.
I was never really pro-Palestine.
You aren't.
Not good people, no. No. I'm going to send you a private chat right now.
You are?
Yes.
I'm waiting for it.
Hold on.
Johnny, thank you, my brother. We love RFO Records, and thank you for setting that up. Sam Bone and Doug and everybody, we love you guys. Thank you. Hold on. I am going to read that. Thank God nobody else can see that but me and you.
I don't think you can say that.
No. No. But thank you to all supporters. And again, we will not be probably back on with Blog Talk Radio in July. We're going to be switching off, but it's been a nice run. It's been 545, I think, of 46 episodes. We're coming up on. I will hit you up on Messenger later. We're coming up on 8 years on the air. This July 28th will be 8 years. We'll be doing the Jeff birthday show in a couple of weeks. We do that every year, so I'll be looking for some people to get involved in the Jeff birthday show. And, of course, our big anniversary show on July 28th. I'm trying to line up some guests and celebrate being on this air 8 years, Jeff. We've been doing this 8 years now.
Wow.
Scary times, my friend. Dougie, I will hit you up on Messenger later.
Young and supple.
Yes, I was a young, eager, naive, staring at a wall while doing the show.
Well.
So, but and also, guys, don't forget, we got the Sunday Audible show gearing up. John, Jeff, and myself every Saturday morning, 8 or 9 o'clock. We'll be doing an hour or two every week on the NFL. And, of course, buy your gear. Go to SundayAudible.com and buy your NFL gear through us so we get some credit from the NFL and Fanatics. So go to the NFL. Go to SundayAudible.com and check out the our website, and you get a direct link to the Fanatics website, and you can buy your gear with some special discounts. So make sure you do that. So what's up, Jeff? I got a question for you.
I didn't say anything.
I
was just letting you go.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, I had somebody talk to me the other day, one of the guys I work with, and he watches the show regularly, and he said, you know, what does Jeff do in his spare time? I said, I think he plays a lot of music. So he says, what does he watch on TV? Does he watch TV? And I said, you know what? I don't think Jeff watches a lot of TV, but if he does, I'm curious if he has a show that he regularly watches. Do you have a regular show that you kind of tune into weekly, semi-weekly?
Yeah, kind of now. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV as of late, to be honest with you.
You do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I play a lot of music, yeah.
Uh-huh. And,
TV, as far as TV goes, it's rather diverse and kind of gay.
Oh, boy. All right, now I got to know. What is it that Jeff Dolwinski is watching on a daily basis that's gay?
Me and the dog,
yep.
We come upstairs because the dog will no longer go down in the basement. She absolutely refuses
Really?
Go down in the basement. And if I come upstairs,
mm-hmm.
the dog wants to come upstairs with me.
Okay.
Well, now, being that the dog is blind, we can't just let the dog wander around. So we got baby gates throughout the whole entire house. Mm-hmm. So when I go upstairs, my wife will send me a text of a picture of the dog standing at the bottom of the stairs. She knows where the bottom of the stairs are.
And she's waiting for you.
Come down and get her. So when I bring her upstairs, we'll watch a couple things. So we were watching reruns of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But we recently, as in today, mm-hmm. got rid of HBO.
Oh, really?
Saved like $40 a month on our cable bill or whatever it was. So
okay.
We won't be watching Game of Thrones anymore.
That's okay.
We watched Forged in Fire, where these guys go and they do blacksmithing. And they are told to build certain kind of knives and shit like that. So we watched that, me and the dog. Mm-hmm. We watched the incredible Dr. Pohl. A vet,
okay,
with a questionable practicing.
Questionable.
From the state of Michigan. Yeah, he's been suspended and all kinds of stuff, and somehow he still has a TV show. And it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch Mountain Men. In case we ever want to go out in the wilderness. And yes, me and Tommy have been friends for 40 years. We've met thousands of times.
I think he meant with John, because there's a thing that John hasn't met us yet.
Oh, whatever. But, it's whatever. We watch a whole bunch of stuff, man.
So you watch a lot of reality TV.
TV in the sense of that it's...
Well, it's not a scripted show, though, right? These aren't scripted shows.
They're all scripted shows.
Well, I get your point. Yes, I get your point. See, I watch a lot of dramas. I watch a lot of... police dramas. I watch Blue Bloods. I watch Chicago PD, The Rookie. I watch those are kind of shows I watch, and I watch a lot of reruns of Two and a Half Men. I watch Two and a Half Men almost every day. Oh, I love that show.
I've watched it so many times.
Oh, me too.
I've laughed at it so many times. I just can't watch it.
I absolutely positively love that show.
John's coming to New York.
Hey.
So I hope you're stop by and say hello, John.
John, if you're coming in, we're going to have a barbecue at Jeff's house as soon as you get in. Tell you flat out. I'm volunteering at Jeff's house.
Oh, shit. All right. That's fine.
No, we'll have everybody.
Stay in my shed.
Yes, of course. But, if John's coming to New York, I'm going to see him because there's maybe one of the chances I get to meet my friend.
You know, I spend a lot of time practicing.
I know you do.
Because I just love to practice. I love to play the band and stuff like that. And I got to be honest with you, the last 2 weeks I've had a hard time playing.
Really? Why?
Because I feel like I have nothing to play for, Tom. I don't have anything really lined up. I don't have any anything happening. And it's getting very discouraging.
I hear you.
That,
did anything ever happen with that other thing that was promised and taken away?
No, nothing yet.
Really?
I don't know. I was told they were going to make a decision after the 25th, and then they added another show.
Oh.
So I don't know what's happening. I do know that there's a good chance I may release the hounds.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want to do that. You're going to release the hounds,
don't
huh?
Don't tell me that.
I got gotcha. You.
And then you're going to dangle it away. And you know, they did it to other people.
We all know that story, yes.
I don't understand. I've never once... that's another story for another day.
I agree. I just... I would tell you, I've got the huge itch again. I've played quite a bit lately. And I'm going to be buying I'm doing a little more research on it. There's a really good piece of software to learn music called Musician. I'm sure you must have heard of it. You've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've done some research on it, and it seems like a really good, nice program to learn some music and to teach myself to play a little better. So I'm looking forward to playing some more music again.
Well, good.
So
good.
Yeah,
and learn, man. Like I've posted a video of a Prince song that
I saw it. Very good. I saw it.
Fucking Instagram, because mm-hmm. so God forbid you post it anyplace else, it gets fucking shut down immediately. against copyright infringement. I think I'll always play. It's just a matter of how much am I going to play, because it's very discouraging, and it's, I just want to play and have fun before I get too old and I don't want to do it no more.
Yeah, Al, our good buddy Al Albanese hit me up today. I don't know if you saw, I put you in it. And I see. He said, we got to do another show. And I said, I got to talk Jeff into it.
Whenever you want to do it, man.
So I got to talk, I got to talk my man into it.
I'm here.
That's not encouraging, Jeff. I need you to be more than just here. I like it when you're fired. I like when you're fired up.
Remember the last time we did a thing? There was the cupcake controversy.
That's true.
Little Cuban guy stuck in the back door took all the cupcakes.
Yeah, that's very true. Our security wasn't good that day.
No, it wasn't. Our security went right over his head.
Easily.
Marino in his shenanigans that we're in the middle of.
We did get dragged into the Nick Marino shenanigans. That's true.
We didn't really know. We knew, but we didn't know.
Like,
what's going on? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
And, it is what it is. I don't know. Can we ever capture
the magic?
That magic again? I don't know.
I think we got to try. I think we got to try to do what I think the world needs it. I think we need it. I think we need to get out there and do another show down the road.
You set everything up with Al. All I know is just that, whatever he wants to do, that's fine. I'm not going to his house again to get this all underway. Whatever papers I got to sign, I'll sign out in the parking lot.
All right, guys, boys, Jeff and Tom hanging in there for a little while longer. Thanks for stopping by. I hope you guys have had a great week. We're going to talk a little.
Everybody's asking one another how they're doing. Nobody's asking us how we're doing.
No, Carrie asked you earlier. She said, hey, Jeff.
She said hello. If that John, don't ask us how we're doing.
I don't know, man. I disagree.
There's like a little side thing going on here, and we're not a part of it.
Listen, I hope you guys are doing well out there. I know that the prices are high. I get gasoline's ridiculous. But don't worry, your boy Joe Biden, don't worry. He's got it covered. He's going to give us a nice holiday tax, 18 cents. He's a good man.
Oh, he's gonna drop the federal.
Yes.
Yeah. This is what I don't get.
God.
He wants to drop the tax on the federal tax on gas. Right?
Yes.
Which is just a drop in the bucket.
18 cents.
18 cents. Okay. So that means if you spend, you buy 10 gallons, you're gonna save $1.80.
Correct.
Is that, yeah? Look out.
Yeah, but here's what they're not telling you. That doesn't mean that the price of gas is not gonna go up anyway.
Well, they did that. They did that over here. They took some tax off of it or something like that, like 15 cents, and then they raised the price.
Yeah, so it didn't matter. You still paid the same thing.
So it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But what I've been doing is that I try to, get my car and truck over there, early in the week.
Uh-huh.
And like once it gets down, I don't even let it get to a quarter tank.
Uh-huh.
And then I put gas in there. It sucks. And no, the American standstill is not going to work in this situation, because if you notice, every single gas station, the price is the same.
Yeah.
When have you ever seen the price of gasoline the same at every single gas station?
It's very true.
Sometimes it would be, say, $1.50 here, $1.52 there, $1.48 over here, $1.51 here. Now, all of a sudden, gas is the same price everywhere.
It's
pretty amazing to me.
I don't think it's amazing.
I don't know what's going on with it, but it's amazing.
Well, the one good piece of news, Jeff, is we got a lot of stuff coming up, and we got some, let's see, I don't know if this is going to show up on there. I guess not, because the light.
White.
Ah, I hit the button. The fat finger's gotten away. Hold on there, Jeff. Hold on. We're going to talk a little bit about this. We got a little pro football coming up. Again, you get here on Thursday, July 28th. We'll be doing the NFL training camp show. And then right around that, I think that's Saturday morning, will be the first official Sunday Audible show. We got a lot of football talk to get to tonight. We're going to get to it right now. So let's talk a little football with Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you know Bart Scott, who's a favorite of yours, a one-time Jet, Raven. Oh, by the way, we have to mention that Tony Siragusa, the Goose, died.
Yeah, he did, man. And then on the linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, Tony Siragusa was a former Raven.
Yep.
And I forget what the guy's name. He was a Baltimore Raven now. I believe he was a second or third round pick, and they found him dead. No sign of any kind of injury or trauma. But two former Baltimore Ravens died within a day of each other, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony Siragusa, you know, he did a lot of banter from the sidelines, if you remember.
Funny guy. I mean, funny guy. I thought the one thing Fox did that I actually did enjoy was when they had Siragusa, like, in the end zone or walking and being part of the broadcast. First, I thought he was very, very funny. And I also thought he had some really good insight as a former player, you know, watching some of the big guys. He was kind of like a John Madden-ish type. And nobody's Madden, but he was kind of that kind of guy. And I was kind of sad when they took that away and they took him off the air. I thought he did a nice job. I don't know if you paid much attention to the Goose when he was doing that.
I remember when he was on, when he first came on, and he was a little bit more on the serious side.
Yeah.
And, He ended up getting a little silly near the end.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that. I think they were trying to turn him to something that he wasn't. And they should have just let him be what he was when he first came on, which was, you know, he was reporting. He had a little tongue-in-cheek kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but just they made him look like too much of a, you know, like it was
a suit and tie type of guy.
Yeah, but, huh?
They made him into a suit and tie type of guy.
Well,
too corporate, too, you know, watch what you say.
I remember him like being like almost like stupid, like a fat grunk.
Yeah, he was a frat guy. He was just, you know, he's that guy that when you walked into a Jersey bar, he'd be at the end of the bar having a few beers at the end of the day after being a plumber.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you know, that kind of guy.
Just a shame that he didn't get to stay out on the networks longer. And
yeah.
But, you know, I got to be honest with you. It seems as though that just as how quarterbacks don't get much in the way of a chance in the NFL, these announcers don't really get, and reporters, sideline reporters don't get very long shelf life either. They either make it or they don't.
No, it's not, and you know, Jeff, there's so many opportunities. I was just going to bring it up too tonight that Thursday night show now is an Amazon thing, and they're bringing in the big guns, so to speak. And I heard that their studio is going to be Tony Gonzalez, your boy Fitzmagic, is now retired, and Fitzpatrick's going to be part of that, and a couple other players, and I thought it was an interesting. I'd like to find the article and find out who the other announcer is. Now, hold on a second. It's Tony Gonzalez, the ex-chief, Richard Sherman, who just last year or so was getting arrested for ringing his father-in-law's bell and going to jail and mental issues. But so it's going to be Fitzpatrick, Richard Sherman, and Tony Gonzalez, along with Marshawn Lynch and Fox Sports' Carissa Thompson as part of the studio team on Thursday nights. You know, it's the truth. You know, the problem I have is I really don't care. Like it does. You could, Jeff, you can line up. You could dig up three guys from the NFL from the 50s and put them out there, and it wouldn't matter to me. I'm going to watch or I don't watch. None of them are making me tune in.
Well, you know what, Tom? That's not necessarily true. I don't really want to tune in and listen to Joe Buck talk.
I agree. No, you can make me not listen, but I haven't found anybody who makes me want to listen.
No, yeah, I hear that. Well, I like Al Michaels. I like to listen to Al Michaels.
He has
a good football voice. It's somebody that you want to listen to on a Sunday night after 8. You're relaxing. You got work the next day. Chris Collinsworth, I would not ask Chris Collinsworth to read me the directions if I'm trying to put together something I bought from fucking Kia. The man is a fucking idiot. I'm just tired of hearing his mouth and his voice. He's just an imbecile. When he tells you certain things are happening and then you watch the replay and you'll be like, what replay was he watching? Because I didn't see any of that happen. Where did he get that from?
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't want to – if he never announces another game, I'd be a happier man. You know?
Yeah.
The good old days with Merlin Olsen and
and
those guys. Those are guys that you knew it was Sunday night, and it was like you were sitting listening to them explaining the game to you as it was going on.
Yeah.
Those are guys that you miss.
Yeah, I would agree with that because it was simple. It wasn't they were telling you what you see, not what
you see. With Merlin Olsen. What was the guy's
name? It was, hold on, I can see his face.
Not Bob Hume.
Not Kirk Gowdy. It was, oh my God, I can see the guy's face.
Yeah, so can I. I'm going to have to look it up. Go on, keep going. I'll find it.
Yeah, see if you can find that. I'm trying to remember. He just retired not too long ago. Anyway, so he might have. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, listen, I don't tune in for it either way. First I started with the Goose. So Terry Siragusa was a good football player, hated him as a Raven, but he was a good guy on the sideline. And gone way too young, 55 years old. Gone way too young. His father, I think, died at 48 of a massive heart attack. So I guess the family has some issues that way.
Yeah, not good, man.
But then Gronk, I've got to bring up Gronk retires. I am not the biggest Gronk guy in the world. I mean, the guy's got the rings. He's got plenty of catches. He's going to be a Hall of Famer someday. For me, Jeff, I don't know how you feel. I never had him as like a
Dick Enberg.
That's it. Exactly right. Yes. Dick Enberg. I never had Gronk at the top of my tight end list. I'm trying to think about it today. Like, who would be my top five tight ends? He would probably make it top three.
I just did not like Gronk for obvious reasons.
Well, you hate the Patriots and Brady,
the Patriots and everything else. And the one thing that I did not like about Gronk that made him unbearable to even listen to his name being announced was his frat boy image. That he portrayed for how many years? Like, the drunken man that just went out and played and was able to run over everybody no matter what he was doing.
Yeah.
That got so over me so quick.
Yeah.
I hated that stuff.
Yeah, he never seemed, he still hasn't seemed to grow up yet, you know?
Well, I mean, it was obvious that it was a role that he was doing. He was doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
I just, come on, man, stop. Just fucking go out there and play football, man.
Yeah.
Don't act like an imbecile.
Acted like he didn't like playing the game. You know, it's almost like it was in the way. You're right, John Dickenberg. Jeff just picked it up, too. Yep.
Oh, I don't know if that was the case. Because, the game certainly made his life worth living.
Sure.
I'll say that much.
Oh, absolutely.
But everything that he did outside the game, which is what looks stupid, with his the way he acted in commercials and TV. And come on, man, just act fucking normal. Like, because... Now you're grown up. It looks stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? So let me ask you this question. Could you give me your top, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 tight end quarterback duos? Oh, I'll give you mine just to give you my top three. Fouts and Kellen Winslow. I think that was one of the best. Stabler and Dave Casper. I thought that was definitely there. And then my favorite, my number three, and Gronk and Brady are right behind this, but Sims to Bavaro. I thought Bavaro was one of the better tight ends. Just got a little hurt after 6 years, Sims to Bavaro in the 80s was huge. It's just a favorite. That's how I look at it. My top tight ends would be Ozzie Newsome would be there, Gonzalez would be there, Winslow would be there, 100%, John. But Jeff, could you nail that down?
I remember watching Gronk and Tony, what was his name? Hernandez.
Tony Gonzalez.
And Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, Aaron Hernandez, yep.
And they were playing with the Patriots, and I was like, these guys are basically unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way to counteract them. They just...
But there was. It was called Eli Manning. Eli Manning stopped them.
Eli Manning did nothing on the field to stop them.
Eli
Manning did nothing on the field.
Eli Manning.
Never on the field. The only time he was on the field is he stepped on the field with his mouth hanging open. He shouldn't have been there. Back over the line.
You say that they weren't stopping, but Eli found a way to stop them. That's all. Anyway,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
You know, it was a good tight end, and the Jets had a really good one back in the 80s, and Mickey Shula. I was a big fan of Mickey Shula.
Mickey Shula was good, yeah, he was good, but, you know, because he was on the Jets, they just never got a chance to sign.
Yeah.
I think Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes is an unbelievable duo.
Yep.
But it seems as though that it's the same play that they run nonstop.
And they never get stopped.
No, they never get stopped.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you know what's coming, and it's the same play right over the middle, and bang, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, the tight end is kind of a thankless job, thankless position. Unless you're a real standout,
yeah,
it's a thankless position.
Yeah. No, listen, it's one of those guys where you can spend the whole game getting beaten up. This is back in the 80s when tight ends were tight ends, or 90s. Even the early 2000s when tight ends had to block and give themselves up sometimes.
Keller was a decent tight end for the New York Jets, too.
Sure.
But his career got cut short because of that knee injury, man, which I've looked up that knee injury on TV, on YouTube, and I can never really ever caught the hit.
Oh, really?
That destroyed his knee, and he never really played again after that. I think he came back the following season, but that was it. He was done.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some really good tight ends. I mean, I think the Cowboys, a couple eras had Billy Joe Dupree, Doug Cosby, even what's his name that just retired? Cowboy tight end that just retired. Oh, man, I can't think of it. But, you know, listen, I think it's a tough spot. I don't think Gronk, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame someday. He's got four rings, got tons of records. I don't think he's done. I think he comes back. To be honest with you, I still think he's back, whether it's this year or next year. I think at some point, if there's room there and they're headed toward the playoffs and he can catch a late season and playoffs, I think he shows up.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp was another good one, yeah.
See, to me, Shannon Sharp was more of a tight – he was that first guy who was more of a split him out, stand him up, tight end. Todd Christensen had a couple good years with the Raiders. Then tried to become an actor and was horrendous. Yeah. But Shannon Sharp was a great receiver. To me, he was more of a wideout than he was ever a tight end. But listen, a Hall of Famer nonetheless. So good pickup by John. So yeah, there's been some great ones over the years. So we just nailed that. Let's see. Your boy Deshaun Watson, Jeff. Big week for Deshaun.
Yeah, I hear that.
20 of 24 cases have been settled. I'm assuming that means a large payout was in order.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Sorry folks, we're having a private conversation that you definitely don't want to know. But your boy, the rumor is that the NFL is going to give him a year vacation, Jeff.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man. It really is.
What's happened on your side of the screen, or that he may get a year vacation? Both of it? I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. I'm still going to go against you on this one.
I think he's getting exactly
what he deserves.
I will say,
yeah,
if he gets suspended now.
For a year.
Okay. He's now proving that something happened.
Yep.
Proving that something happened, because all of a sudden now 20 of the 24 cases have been settled out of court.
Right.
I firmly believe now that they should find out what happened and release the findings and let us know exactly. Maybe you don't have to release the name.
You're talking about the NFL's investigation?
Whoever.
Well, the only one that matters at this point, I mean, he's not going to criminal trial, so he's got a couple civil cases to go to trial, which will be four people. I don't know if it's one big case or two separates or four separates.
And not for nothing, if you're going to look to bring any kind of a case against somebody, the last thing you should be known is you know, anonymous or whatever. Your likeness and everything should be displayed just like his, just like he's going to be embarrassed and shit. But it doesn't matter, because he'll take the year off. He'll end up playing. When he comes back, they'll forget all about it after week two or three.
But if you're the Browns, you're getting a quarterback who hasn't played in two full seasons. If he gets suspended a full season, it's 2 years since he stopped the football.
Tom, listen, it's not my problem.
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying it is. I'm happy for the Browns that they're going to go through it.
Why? Okay, if you're dumb enough,
yeah,
to have one, made the trade,
yep,
when you didn't know what was going to happen, two, take on somebody that may, you know, you, I got to give credit where credit is due. I said all along, why is he going to get suspended? Nothing has been proven. Okay. But now him paying people off proves that something is happening.
Absolutely.
You know, money to people. Okay. You willingly traded for this guy and traded a lot for this guy.
Oh, yeah. You gave up three number one picks, right?
So now if he doesn't play in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is going to be reminiscent, and it's a reminiscent of, but completely different, of when the Major League Baseball players would be out of action for 2-3 seasons because they were serving their commitment for the country in World War II.
Right.
But this guy here sat out willingly 1 year, and now he's going to be suspended for another year. This is the game of football. He may never respond back in a positive way.
Oh, great. But
let Carrie, please, say what you want. Well, let's hear what you have to say.
Carrie, I agree. And Jeff, I'll say it one step further. If the NFL does an investigation and feels that there's enough information here to warrant a suspension, that he actually was a predator, and that's what you have to call him. Carrie called it right. He's a predator. He should not be allowed back in the league again. Technically, you know.
I'll argue that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, this isn't a one-time incident or was a misunderstanding, you know, and I'm all for people getting rehabilitated. But, if you know, this is 24 that we know of. I guarantee there's more out there. And
I'm sure there's more out there, but my question is this. If there's more out there, I'd imagine they would all have been crawling out of the woodwork at this point.
You would think.
One thing. Second of all, if they're all out there, right, if there's 24 out there and he paid 20 of the 24, how many of them have a legitimate gripe? Because maybe it just came down to, you know what, you know he's not giving each one $1 million. Okay, you know that.
I don't know. I didn't see the numbers, but the original was, I think, something like $100,000 per person.
So he's not giving each one $1 million. So even if he has to pay somebody, and unfortunately, Carrie, you're right, and that's pretty much what I was going to get at, that he may be paying people that have nothing to do with anything, and it's just there to try to get the money, and he's just like, you know what, just give him as $100,000. He just signed, what, $235
million
contract?
$230 million contract, yeah.
So $200,000 for him or $2 million for him is really no big deal at this point in time.
I would agree. To
get everything out of the way and, like, let's start fresh. So is that a possibility that he's paying people that maybe he didn't even meet in his lifetime?
But you know what? I agree with that to a certain extent. I here's what I'd say. I'd like to think if that was me being accused and I knew I was completely innocent, I would go to the mat with all my money and fight for my name, because you can say a lot of things, Jeff, and this will get settled and he'll get suspended and he'll come back, but he will forever be known for this. In his lifetime, absolutely, he will.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I'll prove it. I'll prove it.
Yeah.
One, it's never been proven in a court of law exactly what happened, and probably at this point in time, never will.
Probably never will. I agree with that. Yeah.
So that's one thing right there.
Yep.
Two, I'm going to give you a name.
Okay.
Okay. That went through something similar
mm-hmm.
and came back and was one of the most revered and loved players as soon as he came back. Michael Vick. Okay. Michael Vick went through dog fighting, killing dogs, burying dogs, this, that, and the other thing, all this disgusting shit. They opened up their arms, welcomed them back, and let the man play and start in two different cities, one of them being New York, the other one in Philadelphia. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that they're going to invite him for everything under the sun, but Michael Vick was definitely welcome back. And Deshaun Watson, he's going to make the league money. And he's going to a big market team, semi-big market team in Cleveland. They're going to bring him back, and they'll allow him to come in and play.
Carrie, the only thing I disagree with you, Carrie, on that, on the Tiger Woods thing, is Tiger Woods did not rape anybody, was not accused of doing anything wrong. He was...
Deshaun Watson was proven
to work. I'm not saying... No, but there's two different things. Deshaun Watson was accused, at least. He was accused.
Actually,
so,
I'm sorry, sexually harassed.
Right. But Tiger Woods never was accused. Tiger Woods just had a bunch of affairs. Nobody accused him of any wrongdoing other than his wife. And again, what he did was completely wrong. I'm not disagreeing with it. But Deshaun Watson was basically a quarter step from being a rapist and doing that on to 24 counts. you know, that's a serial crime. Again, Jeff, to your point, I agree with you.
I agree with you that he wasn't convicted,
but that's being able to prove is tough.
Last time we talked about this, he wasn't convicted, and he still hasn't been convicted. But the difference between this time and last time is that he wasn't paying women to go away.
Correct.
Be quiet. That's a big difference. Now you're admitting that something happened, and, you know, now you're like tongue-in-cheek about it. Well, something happened, but, you know, we can't really talk about that no more. But, you know, it's going to go away now because I'm taking my wallet out.
Right.
And that's basically what's happening.
No, I agree. But there are still four women who refuse to take his money and want to go out.
They just haven't hit the right dollar amount.
Yeah, and maybe you're 100% right. And you know what? I say this. I think it's despicable, and I think that they should get their day in court and be able to go out there and say what they think happened and try to prove it.
Well, they already proved it. It's not in criminal court. So even if they go to civil court, you know what? Mm-hmm. His lawyers, he has enough money to fight to have the case sealed and all this other good shit because he's a celebrity with a lot of money, and he'll probably be able to do something of that nature, and then you'll never find out what happened, where it happened, what these people's names are, who they are, what they look like, nothing. And then next thing you know, he writes a check for $2 million and they go away.
No.
He got caught writing a check for $3 million.
Yeah.
So it could happen. There's going to be big money tossed around.
No, I agree. This is not over. And he's going to get suspended and he's not going to lose a lot of money because this year's only worth $1 million. But I think that when he does show back up and the Browns get him as a quarterback, you know, forget about anything off the field. His simple on-the-field stuff, it's not going to be the same. And not that I ever thought he was a great quarterback anyway. I never thought the allure of Deshaun Watson as this great NFL quarterback, I never saw it. I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think of him as an elite quarterback. If you sat there and with me and we put together a list, I don't think he'd wind up in our top 10.
You know what? It's a different story now, Tom. People have retired. We had said that when the original Elite Five retire, who's going to take their places? And there's been people. If this guy played without any problems, he played last year. It didn't work out in Houston. Now he got traded to Cleveland. If he played well, he goes to Cleveland. He plays well. He very well may be a top five quarterback in the league because
by default.
That is possible by default. It's possible because who's the top five right now?
Oh, I can give you five that are better than him in what I've been thinking.
Right now that have played.
No, I'm giving you Brady. I'm going to give you Rodgers. I'm going to give you Mahomes. I'm going to give you Josh Allen. Right off the bat, there's four. I'm going to put Stafford ahead of him right now as five. There's five right now, top of my head, that are much better than him. Carrie, was it actually rape inappropriate comment?
I have to go. I got to use the bathroom. Okay. Right back.
Oh, God. Here we go. Listen, I got to read that. Guys, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom hanging in there. We do this every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Hope you guys come back every week and help us do this. Again, we got some milestones coming up. Jeff's birthday show is coming up second week of July. His birthday is actually the 10th. So we will celebrate somewhere around there. And then, of course, July 28th, we celebrate 8 years on the air, try to get some past guests on the show and have some fun on July 28th. And then, of course, remember, guys, July the 30th will be the very first official show for the Sunday Audible when John, Jeff, and myself get together and we do our thing on a Saturday morning, changing the show this year to get Jeff involved. Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, we'll cut away at the time and I'll bring you our unique analysis on the game of football. So stick around. There's still plenty more. Yeah, John, I agree with you. Burrow, Justin Herbert. I take Derek Carr over him right now. He's not making my top 10, and they paid him an awful lot of money, and I don't get it. And, you know, Carey, to me, whether or not he penetrated anybody, attempted to penetrate anybody, he put 24 women in a bad spot that they didn't ask to be put in. And for that, that's to me, it's not once, it's not twice. You know, this is somebody who's a predator. And I think for that reason, he should be I think he should be out of football. I'm going to be completely honest. You know, I'm all for rehabilitating people But this guy should not be rewarded with a $230 million contract. And I think the Browns have done themselves and the fans a disservice by bringing this guy on, Jeff. And I'm not going to go. I'm not going to get away from it.
I agree. As far as Carrie's question, I don't know what you answered. I didn't hear the whole thing.
Good.
I've never once yet heard the word rape.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
So it's been sexually harassed.
Correct.
So I guess if you're pulling your willy out and you're showing it to somebody that doesn't really want to see it.
Your Schween.
Schweiker.
Schweiker. You pull out your Schweiker?
If you will. If you're pulling your Schweiker
out. Is there a difference between Schweiker and Schween? Is it like a size thing or is it just terminology?
I don't know. I just...
You like Schweiker?
It has been presented to me a few years back. We kind of filed it away. The person that presented that word to me a while back is no longer with us. They're gone.
Nah.
And I use the word Schweiker in remembrance of him.
Okay. And John brought up Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Those are guys that are better quarterbacks than him. And I said it right after. I'd take Derek Carr over him.
Well, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing as far as Deshaun Watson. You know, you got to remember the team that he played on and what he did with that team. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate of who's better, who's not, this and the other thing right now. But, okay, he was playing on some subpar teams.
Right.
With the Houston Texans. He's also played, or did not play last year and this year. So let's see what happens when he does come back.
Right.
Because I got a feeling that he's going to be a bust yet, John. I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to argue that fact. But when he comes back, it's going to be... He sat for 2 years. Look what happened now. And you know, the guy is playing well. And for somebody that hasn't played in 2 years, that's what you're going to hear now. The guy comes out, he's playing well. For somebody that hasn't been on a football field in 2 years, he's gained 40 pounds. He hasn't been on a field in 2 years.
Yeah.
He can't throw the ball for 15 yards. He hasn't been on a field for 2 years. Or he may just totally immerse himself and keep himself in top shape. And you don't know. You don't know what kind of Deshaun Watson you're going to get when he comes back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
All I know is that Cleveland's paying for him, and they made a bad move that way, I feel.
Yep, I would agree with you, Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff and Tom hanging out on a Thursday night with you guys. Lots to talk about. We still got a few more things for a few more times. I want to thank David Lyon Court for joining us tonight. And all the people, you know, Carrie and Doug and John and everybody else who popped in tonight, Will. It's a lot of fun doing this when we have some people interacting with us. Jeff's always a big fan. And thank you to our good friends in Israel who have now made it. 15% of our audience is in the motherland, Jeff's motherland. So we thank them.
Motherland.
Well, you got the beard, the whole bed. You kind of look like the Smith Brothers guy. So, I mean, I got to put you in there as the motherland, Jeff.
I do have to stray a tad.
You do?
Well,
go ahead.
I asked you to watch a video earlier for a reason.
You did? Go ahead. I did get to watch it. I did not pay attention as much as I should have to it, but go ahead.
Listen.
Go ahead.
The point of the video is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I asked you to watch the video was something completely different.
Okay.
I asked you to watch the video because I found it entertaining. I think you will, too, when you watch it.
Okay.
It was a video with Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Something that we've never done that I would love to do for next week.
Which is
I want you to give me, and I will bring mine.
Okay.
Your 10 best athletes.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Okay. We've never done this before. We've
done
best baseball players, basketball, football, best quarterbacks.
Wow.
All this good shit. I want you to give me your 10 best athletes.
Wow, that's a tough list.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun list, but that's a tough list. Okay, I got you. I just penciled it into next week's script already. Yeah, John, you got to go for it. Love to know
it. We'll talk off the air about John and his 10 best. But they'll all be Pittsburgh Steelers, so they can't. I don't know.
Okay, we finished with that. Hey, just a big note. I don't know if you saw it today, but Arch Manning, another Manning, has made it into the college ranks. He's supposed to be he's Cooper Manning's son. He's the next big talent. If this kid makes it, you know, think three generations and four different players will make it to the NFL from one family at the same position. That is kind of amazing.
It is, but you know what? only one of them really had
a historic career. Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, no, well, hear me out, please. Archie Manning.
Yeah.
Quarterback for the New Orleans Saints for years.
Correct. Hell of a ball player.
And couldn't get them past last place. Okay. But yet, you know what? They were on TV all the time. I remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I never forgot that.
Yeah, I loved Archie Manning as a kid. Loved him.
Then Peyton Manning came into the league.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the best of all time.
Set all kinds of records. Probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
That's arguable. I still will take the Tampa Tom, but I'm not too far off with that one. Go ahead.
Then Eli came in the league.
And really exploded with his two big Super Bowl Ws.
He exploded like a big boat. That was it. The guy was horrible. 500 quarterback. Happened to be on two teams that won the Super Bowl.
That just happened.